God has an encouraging word for each of us from the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message today on the gathering clouds. That's right, the gathering clouds. And Dr. Don is the doctor of many things. He has two or three doctorates, but not meteorology. You'll discover how that biblical context will come to life for us in Revelation chapter 1 in just a moment. But know this, we're here to pray for you 24 hours a day as we study God's Word. Jot the number down, store it in your cell. It's 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-WORD. 9673. We're available 24 hours a day to pray with you and for you. Connect with great resources that'll help you grow. You can meet us online as well at theencouragingword.org. We would love to connect with you. And now today's message with Dr. Don Wilton, The Gathering Clouds, on this edition of The Encouraging Word.
Turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. This is not a study in the book of Revelation. Even though much of what I'm going to be saying to you is going to come out of this book, and we will very quickly discover why. Our series is entitled The 11th Hour. And friends, all I'm going to say to you today is that I seriously doubt if there are many people who do not have many, many questions about the world in which we live. What's going on? I don't have time in the pulpit on Sundays to begin to unpack everything that's going on. That's not my purpose. Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back, and He could come back today. Question is there any means by which you and I can know somewhat of when the Lord Jesus would come back? I want to say this right up front. Not one of us know or will ever know. In fact, the Bible says that. None of us will know that. Only the Father knows that. So it's not a good thing to write me a letter during the week and tell me that I'm trying to establish exactly when He's coming back, because I'm not. Because we don't know. Only God knows. However, two things are very important. Writing back in when Jesus was on this earth, Jesus said that you can know by the signs of the times. And there are many, many signs. We could spend a lot of time during this series talking about the cashless economy, about the United States of Europe, about the rise of Antichrist. What's going on in Israel today? I think there are many things that are very important. Even this pending deal that the United States wants to broker with a nation like Iran, who has done and continues to do everything to destroy the nation of Israel. We can talk about a lot of things, but there is one issue that I personally don't hear a lot of people talking about. In fact, I'm going to make a very bold statement. I don't hear anybody talk about this, and I'm about to do it. And the reason I'm about to do it is because the Bible is very clear, and that is the church. When I use the word church, I'm not just referring to a facility, a building like this. We are the church. All believers comprise the church. And I'm going to show you some very staggering things from God's Word, because God evidently wanted us to know that if you really want to know if Jesus is about to come back again, you need to take a look at the church. Not at the White House. Not just at the economy. You got to look at yourself. We've got to look at ourselves. And that's what the first three chapters of the book of Revelation is all about. And I'm going to show you some staggering truths, because the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus, by His Spirit, gives us both commendation and condemnation concerning we, the church. And immediately after that, based upon both commendation and condemnation, Jesus comes back. And God's word gives to us a very clear picture of what the church is going to look like just before he comes back. Now, I'm going to be saying these things for the next several Sundays. I want to begin tonight Revelation chapter 1. Pray for me. This is a huge undertaking. And there is a lot. This is massive. Revelation chapter 1. I want you to follow in God's word. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom of priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and forever. Amen. Behold, Jesus is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail and mourn on account of him. Even so, let him come. Amen. For I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the one who is and who was and who is to come. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamum and Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. May God write this word upon our hearts. I'm praying for us in regard to three things. And I want you to know today that I'm going to say this almost every time I stand and preach for the next several weeks. Three things that I'm praying. Number one is that all who hear would know. This has to do with knowledge, biblical knowledge. I want to teach you from God's word. I want you to have the knowledge. I'm going to try my best to teach you this. Pass on. Number two, I'm praying for spiritual understanding. It's one thing to know something, but it's another thing to understand it spiritually. And I'm going to explain to you in a minute that I'm sorry to tell you that some of you will not understand this. And I'm going to tell you why. So I'm going to pray for knowledge, and then I'm going to pray for understanding, spiritual understanding. But the third prayer that your pastor has in his heart for all of us, for me and for you, is that we would act upon it. So here's the three things that I'm asking God to do for us. Number one, enhance greatly our knowledge. want us to be informed from God's word. I want you to know. This is what God says. Number two, I'm praying that with that knowledge, you're going to have a spiritual understanding. That makes all the difference. And then number three, that you and I would act upon that. We would know what to do. Because we've got to know how to relate to our world. We've got to know what to do. If in fact Jesus is about to come back, and I believe that, what are we to do about this as believers? Where does that leave us? Where does that leave the church? And it's interesting to me that in this passage that the Bible tells us that Jesus is going to come with the clouds. And whilst I'm not preaching on clouds, we know very clearly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we also know from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we most certainly know from the book of Revelation, that when Jesus does come, that he's not going to land on this earth, that he's going to come with the clouds, in the clouds and with the clouds. Jesus will suddenly appear up there. Clouds are up there. And these clouds are gathering, both symbolically and practically. And the Bible says that all of a sudden, at a time not known to man, Jesus will suddenly come with the clouds. Not going to land on this earth, according to 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians. He's going to come with the clouds, and all believers who are alive and remain will be caught up. And so here's Jesus coming in the clouds. And the Bible tells us here in Revelation that he's going to do this at any time. And my question is, as we begin today, how do we understand the gathering clouds? We can only understand the gathering clouds in three ways, according to God's word. We understand the gathering clouds of Jesus coming in terms of God's purpose and in terms of God's desire and in terms of God's plan. I want to just unpack this for you very quickly. We need to understand this from this very beginning part of this study that we're about to do together. So the gathering clouds are understood, number one, through God's purpose. You've got to ask the question, did God and does God have a purpose in what's going on right now? And what does this all mean? So what is God's purpose? His purpose is threefold according to what we've just read. Number one, to uncover. That's the word revelation, by the way. Contrary to public opinion, God has no design whatsoever to hide or to mask or to keep away from believers all that we need to know about his coming. In fact, the contrary is very true. The very word revelation means to become visible, to make known. So what's God's purpose when it comes to his coming? Well, it's first of all is to uncover. It's to take the lid off, to pull back the covers. Number two, his second purpose is to make known. That's what he says here in this. He says in verse 1, he says, he made it known. In verse 1, he says, he gave this to his servant in order to show to his servants. Now, folks, I want you to all listen to this because this is going to be very, very important. God's purpose concerning his coming and the imminence of his coming, when he's coming, and what that means to us in our daily world is, number one, to make it known to us by pulling back the covers. But number two, to make it known to those of us who believe. Now, I want to make a statement here today. Only believers will understand these things. If you're listening today, I want to ask you to give your life to Christ. I'm going to beg you to give your heart to Jesus, because unless you give your heart to Jesus, you cannot understand this, and you will not understand this. Do you know what Paul said? He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this is what he said. He said, a natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. And if you think Paul had it right under the inspiration of the Spirit, Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 13, he said, to you believers, to you disciples, to those of you that are Christians, those that are born again, those who have been indwelt by the Spirit of the living God, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to those who do not know me, it has not been granted. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do unbelievers understand. I present to you America. God has made it very clear in His Word. Don't expect the unbelieving world to pay any attention to these things. For two reasons. Number one, they do not understand. And not only do they not understand, but it doesn't matter to them that they do not understand. Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come in America that we need to understand that the unbelieving world doesn't get it. They can neither know, nor can they understand, nor can they act upon that which they do not understand. Because God has told us that He has not granted the ability for people outside of Him to understand the things that are of God. It's no good wringing your hands and beating your head on the table and clucking like a chicken because we look out here and we see what's going on in America today. It shouldn't surprise us one bit. The issue is, what is God saying to you and to me? And that's why I want to invite you to give your life to Christ. My friend, if you don't trust Jesus, not only will you never be forgiven, but you will never receive the Holy Spirit. You will never have spiritual understanding. You will never be able to walk with God. You will never be able to discern between right and wrong according to God's Word. You will join the vast company in America who are increasingly saying, yeah, I know God is God by whatever name He might be, but as far as I'm concerned, this suits me. Our time has changed. This is what we need to do. And if we want to do it, we've got rights to do it because we're Americans and it doesn't matter. And who cares what anybody else says? Our morality and our lifestyle is only governed by the human spirit. Is that happening in the church? Are there churches in America today that are saying what God has to say is not relevant? I want you to understand God's purpose. If you don't understand God's purpose, you cannot understand the gathering clouds. God's purpose, number one, is to unveil or to uncover, to make known to us all the mysteries of His grace. Number two, to make known to believers the things that will soon be. And His third purpose is to establish the time of His coming. Now He says here in this passage, He says, for the time is near in verse 3. You'd be interested to know that that little word near or soon does not refer to the speed with which He comes, but rather the nearness to the time of His coming. It's that word there is best translated imminence. That word imminence is a big word. It literally means that Jesus is coming and His return is imminent. It's near. I don't know that Jesus is coming back today. Nor do you, nor does anybody, only the Father in heaven. But we're going to discover as we look at ourselves. It's near. Yeah, I love what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4. He uses a word, he said, so encourage one another with these words. You know, personally speaking, I hope Jesus comes back today. I'm ready. But can I also be perfectly honest with you? I'm okay if he doesn't come back today. I got some things to do that, humanly speaking, I'd like to do. I'd like to see all my grandchildren get married and have children. I'd like to live a lot longer. I'd love all that sort of thing. I'd like to see my favorite team win the championship. I'd like to be able to go fishing one more time. You know, humanly speaking, folks, we look at all of these things. I remember one precious young lady saying to me one time a number of years ago, I don't want Jesus to come because I want to get married first. You know, we have all of these dreams and aspects. The Lord Jesus knows all those things. But I'll tell you what, if he came now, I'm ready. If he comes in 10 years from now and I'm still here, I'm ready. If I die before he comes, I'm ready. Because I know Jesus. I want to invite you to give your life to Jesus. It is critical that you trust Jesus Christ. Give your life. Trust him. Turn your heart over to him. So God's purpose to uncover, to make known, and to establish. But if we're going to understand the gathering clouds, we've not only got to understand God's purpose, but God's desire. And God's desire is right there in verse 3. There's a little word there that says blessed. Don't you love that? You know what I love about coming into our church? I love that, man. I love walking around. And man, this week, man, we've been all over the place. I love being here with my church family and in our community because I run into blessed people all the time. And the word blessed in the scriptures, it's not just a smile on your face. It's an inner contentment and a peace and a joy that only Christ can bring. And the word there literally means to be made complete. And so God's desire has a threefold application of completeness. And he tells us here, he says his desire, number one, is to bless those who read this, to bless those who hear this, and to bless those who act on this. And by the way, English teachers, you and I know that those are participles. And they're written in the present continuous tense. Really, if you're going to read this in the Greek text, far better read, blessed are those who are engaged in reading this, and blessed are those believers who are hearing this, and blessed are those who love me who are acting on this. It's an incredible statement here that God is telling me. I will guarantee you that every believer, just a little while ago, when I just read this, God began to bless you just by reading his word. But now you're hearing his word, and God is blessing us just hearing the word, and God is blessing us by acting on his word. So what is my prayer for us? It's a threefold prayer that we would know. That's the facts, that we would read this and study this and know this. Number two, that we would understand hearing with your spiritual eyes, with your spiritual heart. And that we would act on it. We would do something about it. We, the church, we God's people, we would be fortified and resolute in our witness, in our stand, in our joy. We would look at our world with different eyes. I promise you something. Over the next few weeks, you are going to have a fresh sparkle coming out of your eyes. You're going to all of a sudden see something that the world will never see, because the world will see doom and gloom. They will see all of these things, but they cannot see and understand and act upon it. Therefore, all they're going to do is dwell upon the gloom, whereas the believer understands that God is marching this world according to his sovereign grace and plan, and that we're a part of it. Well, if we're going to understand the gathering clouds, we not only understand God's purpose and God's desire, but we've got to understand God's plan. And his plan is really threefold. Number one, to speak through John. That's what the Bible tells us in verse 9, tells us in verse 4. John, the Apostle John, the son of Zebedee, the brother of James. Bible tells us that he was incarcerated, if you please, on the island of Patmos because he was a man who took his stand concerning the Word of God. He was incarcerated, imprisoned, punished for standing upon the Word of God. We're moving in that direction in America, and we're not even supposed to be a Muslim nation. God's plan to speak through John, God used John. God always uses people. He uses you and me and Sunday school teachers and discipleship leaders and choir singers and moms and dads and friends and neighbors. God speaks through people. I'm asking the Lord to at least allow me the privilege of being an instrument through whom He will speak to you. Number two, God's plan is not only to speak through John, but to illustrate His coming through the church. Why the church? Because it is given to the church because they can understand. Why the church? Because it is given to the church because they set the pace. These letters to the seven churches contain within them, as we begin to unpack them, both commendation and condemnation. It's a picture of ourselves just before Jesus comes. And I'm going to let every believer make a determination, ask ourselves the question, to what extent do we look exactly like Jesus said the church is going to look just before He comes back in the clouds? What is God's plan? Now, it's to speak through John and to illustrate the church, but His plan, most importantly of all, is to point to the Savior. It's point everything to Jesus. And what I have to say about Jesus is so extensive. There's a Trinitarian benediction here in this passage. I don't have time to get in. Maybe I'll pick up with that next week. If you understand this threefold benediction concerning Jesus Christ the Son in relation to the church of the living God, you and I will rise up like never before and say, Lord, I'm ready to serve You. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to serve, and I'm willing to give. This is what it's all about. God's plan in all of this is to point to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. I want to point you to Jesus. And when you know Jesus and you trust Jesus, He's coming back again. And He could come at any minute.
We'd love to pray with you, talk with you about what it means to say yes to Jesus Christ. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And if you're wondering, what does it take to become a Christian? Oh, hold on for these words from Dr. Don.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive You into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.